Our kickoff guest, a fellow who I have promoted rather heavily the last couple of days, his name is Eugene Quinn, and the name of his book, Moms Are the CEOs of Life. And indeed, that is very, very definitely, I think, a figurative statement, but perhaps in some ways a little bit more literal than might meet the eye here. Happy Mother's Day to everybody tuned in today. I hope you had a chance to spend some time with your mom. And what I'd like to do in the kickoff hour is basically give you the opportunity to maybe call in and pay homage to your mom by letting us know some of the advice that your mom gave you. What one piece of advice that your mom gave you sticks out in your mind? Perhaps as a mother yourself, you'd like to pass along some of the advice you gave to your kids, and what effect did it have in your life? Once again, quoting the late Irma Bombeck, when your mother asks you want a piece of advice, it is a mere formality. It doesn't matter if you answer yes or no. You're going to get it anyway, and along may that be the case. By the way, the Pirates just went ahead 5-4 just when you're ready to give up all hope. So maybe a Mother's Day gift for Bucko fans as we welcome Eugene to KDKA. Hey, Eugene, welcome to KDKA Radio here
in
Pittsburgh.
Thanks so much for having me today, and I want to say hi to everybody in Pittsburgh and especially all the mothers out there. Wish them a happy Mother's Day.
Well, certainly there are a ton of them tuned in here today. The first hour we'll devote to that very auspicious day. Had a chance to have a nice brunch with my mother earlier today, and certainly a lot of people out there doing the same with theirs. You know, I guess the obvious question, Eugene, as we take a look at your book here, once again, the title of it, Moms Are the CEOs of Life. You've had a successful life. What advice did your mom give you? What stands out in your mind as the best piece of advice she gave you along the line?
I'll tell you, the best piece of advice she ever gave me was, and it was very pertinent to me, is there's no such thing as the boogeyman. And I think when people get fear out of whatever they're going to do or whatever they want to do, I think once they remove that element, they can pretty much do whatever they have to do. And it is certainly true in my case.
So you say what she was able to do to you was remove that fear, and once fear was out of the equation, you were able to accomplish a lot of things.
Yes, sir. And even today, when I moved from, I was had a career as a chef, and then I moved into the telecommunications business, mm-hmm. and spent 25 years doing food and then move into a whole nother field in sales, I feared, you know, I would go, I was making cold calls and people would say no, and I would immediately say, oh, okay, you know, and not realize that they're just saying no, they want to hear a little bit more. So once I got over the fear of them saying no to me, again, my mom's advice allowed me to become successful in what I do now.
And I guess one of the great things about mothers, even if you make decisions that they know or they feel in their heart are bad ones and you're going to mess up immeasurably, they're supportive of you. And, you know, that's the phenomenal thing, the idea that you might be doing something that they feel in their gut is wrong, and yet more often than not they'll say, well, you made the decision and go for it.
Yeah, I say in my book, moms give us our first MBA, which is mom's blessings and adulation.
Uh-huh.
You know, they spend that time that of your, you know, the years that you grow up just pumping you full of positive reinforcement. And I think that allows a lot of people at least to start off on the right foot.
And I can certainly remember, as we talk about some of the advice and some of the things that our mothers told us growing up, my mom, I guess one time when I was very young and we were not seeing eye to eye, as was sometimes the case back then, she
yes,
said
sir.
Something about the idea that, you know, that she was my best friend, and I would never have a better friend than her. And son of a gun, here it is some 50-odd years down the pike, and sure enough, that has been the case because, you know, once again, your mom will support you in good times and bad times. And even though sometimes the feedback may not be what you want to hear, you know it's in your own best interest. Let's take a brief time out, kicking things off on this Mother's Day with Eugene Quinn, the name of his book, Moms Are the CEOs of Life. Basically, what Eugene did was talk to a lot of luminaries, a lot of very famous people, finding out what sorts of things their mothers told them, what was the best piece of advice their mom passed along. And I would think here on this Mother's Day, as we devote the first hour to this auspicious occasion, probably the greatest tribute you can pay your mom is to phone in and throw out some of the advice that she gave you, and maybe let us know how it played out in your life, obviously, in a positive sense, I would think. 1-866-391-1020. You can pass along this via Dollar Bank Instant Access and the homepage at kdkradio.com. Rick Bergman in for Chris today, joined by Mark Garver once again. Mike and I just leaving the studios last evening, and here we are again on this Mother's Day with you. Open conversation later on. And, of course, Natalia Rudiak, the Pittsburgh councilwoman, with us at 8 o'clock right here on News Radio 1020. KDKA. Happy Mother's Day to you. Certainly nice day weather-wise here in Pittsburgh, and I hope you had an opportunity to spend some time with your mom. If indeed you are heading out to dinner later on, do wish her a very, very happy Mother's Day for me. We would be remiss, certainly, if we did not pay homage to mom here, at least in hour number one, before we get into some open conversation and some more guest activity down the line. To that end, we're going to kick things off today with an author by the name of Eugene Quinn. The name of his book's Moms of the CEOs of Life. And basically what Eugene did was talk to a lot of famous people and just finding out the tidbits, the nuggets of information that their moms gave them along the way. And, you know, I have a feeling that virtually everybody out there had something that their mom told them that sticks out in their mind that served them well throughout their life, whether you have your mom with you now or whether she's perhaps gone to a much better place at this particular point in time. I'm sure a lot of those lessons still ring true. So for heaven's sakes, what greater tribute could it be for your mom than to hear her words coming back to 38 states and half of Canada. 1-866-391-1020. Of course, if you would prefer, given the emotional nature, I think, of the holiday, if you would like to pass along via Dollar Bank Instant Access, you can do that at kdkradio.com. We will have some open conversation in the next hour. And, of course, Natalia Rudiak from Pittsburgh City Council with us at 8 o'clock. Welcome back, Eugene. You know, as we consider parental advice, while I know my mother passed along some things to me down the road, it seems to me that the parental advice thing was always kind of the bailiwick of the dad. You know, the father knows best thing. Mom provided the love. Dad, at least in my case, a man of few words growing up, but certainly is some very sage advice along the way. I mean, is that stereotypical, or is it, is it kind of a 50-50 thing with respect to the dispensation of advice as we are grown up?
I would say I found it to be that slant a little more towards mother gave you the advice.
Okay.
For the simple reason, a lot of the people that I interviewed, most of them were even older than I am, and I'm 59. They grew up in an era where father worked outside the house, you know. Mom was home all the time, so mom was around their children most of the time, where father was there in the evening. It was typical in our house, although my father owned a record shop and mom helped out, but most of the time mom was home. So the people that I talked to, as I say, most of them came from a generation that it was probably more slanted. The mother gave them more advice. You are correct. She's the one that gave the love, and the father did the disciplining.
Okay, maybe we didn't have discipline growing up, which is, it just seemed that dad was more the guy that would provide those platitudes in our house. But, I imagine that's the great thing about parenting. It kind of varies from family to family. Mother's Day, an emotional day, and I think under any circumstance, particularly I think for people who perhaps have lost their moms, as you wrote your book and as you talked to people about the advice that their mothers gave them along the line, did that play into it? Did you notice any different dynamic maybe when you're talking to somebody who had lost her mother versus somebody who still had the opportunity to go give her a hug if he or she chose to?
There was a definite difference. But the one common thread that I really found fascinating talking to everybody, when I talked to them, they were telling me the story as if they were a child again.
Mm.
And it was, it was just absolutely fascinating. Whether, anybody was, 60, 70, 80 years old, they were seeing themselves as a little kid again, looking up at their mom with those big, bright eyes. I mean, when everyone that I talked to, now some of them I had, phone interviews, but I tried to get in front of them because You know, there's so much more you can get when you're right there in front of them. They always spoke with a smile, and I always, that always caught me. You know, whenever they were talking about their mom, it was just big smile, and they would tell you what happened when they were a child, and many of them had tears in their eyes, you know, when they were telling the story about their mother.
Oh, sure. I mean, we tend to get very emotional with respect to certain things, and that would definitely be one of them. I imagine a lot of people getting together with their families today, and you're right. It seems that when we get together with our parents and with our siblings, somehow we're 7 years old again. We revert back to those roles, and, you know, I imagine in some situations that can make life a little bit difficult, but in a way it's kind of an endearing quality about human beings, something that kind of unites us, I suppose.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Who are some of the folks that you talked to? Undoubtedly, you had an opportunity to talk to a number of people, very successful, and naturally,
yes,
people who are successful, you would assume, could attribute a lot of that to their upbringing, specifically the mom. Who were some of the people you talked to, and what were some of the pearls of wisdom that their mothers passed along to them that served them well?
First one comes off the top of my mind, William Keating. He was a congressman. He was a judge. He ran newspapers. He was with Gannett for a while. He ran USA, the marketing part of USA Today. Ended up, he retired. He was chairman of AP Worldwide. And his mother, growing up, he had just a real wonderful story. But his mother made sure, no matter what, that they do the right thing. And it was one thing of Mr. Keating's career. Everybody I spoke to about him or that I read about him, he was as honest as the day is long. Another one was maybe some of the people, you being in the radio business, Don Kirshner.
Oh, sure.
Ran Alden Records and started so many things, including the Monkees and the Archies and all sorts of groups. He told his mother... always made sure that he finished what was on his plate. They didn't have a lot of money growing up. Mm. He said they lived on love, but they didn't have a lot. But whatever he got, he had to finish. And it was something that that little finish everything on your plate is what drove his business. He said he wanted to have control, whatever he did, have control and see the whole thing through. And if you read the history about him, that's exactly what he did. Kind of brushed, apparently, some people the wrong way, but made him very successful. Another one was, Latimer Michael.
Okay.
He was the founder of Backyard Burgers. And his mother, every time he came in the house, he was supposed to take his shoes off and wipe his feet. And if you go into a Backyard Burger today, it's as clean can be. You know, he said that drove whatever business he was in from that day forward. Being clean was the most important thing to him.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting you mentioned the Kirshner story, the idea that a lot of these people maybe didn't start from wealth. Ultimately, they had it happen to them. But I imagine a lot of us tuned in today probably look back upon our childhoods in that regard. You know, you think back, and from a material point of view, a lot of people listening today probably didn't have a whole heck of a lot. Certainly the idea is you want to do better for your kids than you were able to have done for you. And yet somehow the mothers were able to stretch it. They were able, you know, kind of getting back to the whole CEO concept there a moment ago, they're able to make do with what you had there and make people, I think, very grateful for what they had. And, you know, maybe as we become a little bit more affluent materialistic, we lose some of those lessons.
Yes. And the other thing that was a common thread through all these people on their road to success, and you've probably entailed the same thing, everybody has bumps in the road.
Sure.
You know? But all these people, they said they never saw it as a problem. Because, I mean, some of these people, it was just fascinating what they went through to get where they are. But they never saw it as a problem. You know, they said their mother, they knew their mother. Worst case scenario, they could always go home to mom. Mm. That would be the worst case scenario. And they said it doesn't get better than that.
A lot of people today doing just that. A lot of college students and people who are young, 20, 30-somethings, making that return trip. Here in Pittsburgh, of course, the big race for the cure, as I'm sure was the case in a lot of places. The Pirates today playing with the pink bats and all that happy stuff.
Yep.
So interesting to note that a portion of your proceeds going to charity. Let me just pass along to you something I have via instant access here. This comes from Renee, and Renee says, the best advice my mom ever gave me was right after I was beaten up and had slurs thrown at me by some neighborhood kids as I came home from Hebrew school one afternoon. After cleaning up the blood and drying my tears, she said there will always be haters and bigots in the world. They are to be pitied more than hated or feared. Then she said you need to hold your head high and do everything in your power to make the world a better place to live in, even for people who would wish you harm. I went on to become a Peace Corps volunteer in Africa after college and a cancer researcher as an adult. I have continued to run into haters and bigots through the years, but I try to reach for the pity before I reach for outrage. Not always an easy piece of advice to follow, but it has always served me well. Thanks, Mom. And I got through that somehow. That coming from Renee. It's not even my mom, and I'm choking up. But anyway, advice from Renee's mom, and we do appreciate that. Maybe you've got some advice. I'm sorry?
I'd say that's wonderful.
Yeah, that was beautiful. And I'll tell you what, Eugene, I do offer a brief timeout. Maybe you'd like to share some advice your mom gave you, given the nature of it. If you want to pass along via instant access, you can do that as well. 1-866-391-1020. And this Mother's Day, advice your mom gave you that served you well on this road we call life. And once again, kicking things off this Mother's Day, paying homage to Mom, our number one. It certainly would be inappropriate, I think, to do anything else. We'll have some open conversation later on, some more guest activity. But going to kick things off, giving you the opportunity to pay tribute to your mom. And what better way to maybe share some of the advice that she gave you, some of the things that she taught you that, you know, she might not even have realized had any bearing in your life, but it certainly did. Our guest author, Eugene Quinn, his book, Moms Are the CEOs of Life. And certainly with respect to some of the advice that they have given us, it's an appropriate opportunity, I think, to share some of this stuff, as Renee did a moment ago, via Dollar Bank Instant Access. So if you'd like to jump in, and if your mom's listening, wouldn't it be cool for her? What a great tribute, what a great present to hear you telling the whole world about the things that she told you, which paid off in great dividends, maybe not financially, but in many other ways. 1-866-391-1020, of course, Dollar Bank Instant Access, and the homepage at kdkradio.com. And once again, happy to have Mike Garvin doing the production chores, giving up his mom's day to spend some time with us as well. Eugene, welcome back. You know, your title there, kind of a unique play on the role mom has in the family, the idea of her being the CEO in life. And, you know, from a figurative standpoint, that makes sense. But even from a literal standpoint, I was taking a look at some statistics today, and then moms apparently contribute about $375 billion to the economy. I mean, they don't get paid for it, but they kick in about $375 billion for the work that they do. I have to laugh sometimes when a mother might be asked if she does any work. And because she does not work outside the home, some people say, oh, so you don't work. Well, as a matter of fact, it does translate to a rather significant figure. So, you know, I imagine even from a dollars and cents standpoint, the contributions of mothers is staggering, and perhaps they're not giving credit for this particular contribution to our economic picture.
No, I read it in either Fortune or Forbes magazine. They're the only two business magazines I read, and there was an article in it, and I can't remember. It was one of the offices, government offices, did a study, and if mothers were paid for what they did, their annual salary would be, I believe it was in excess of $100,000.
Wow.
For all the chores that they do.
So a lot of mothers out there perhaps considering a strike or maybe getting a better agent, something at this particular point. You know, it's funny. We can talk about a lot of things, and you mentioned a moment ago that when you talked to some people, even very famous people, people perhaps with reputations being very tough. They had a tendency to tear up. They had a tendency to become very emotional, even, tough guys. So when you talk about their moms, the football players, it's not hi, Dad, it's hi, Mom. And certainly, in the battlefield, oftentimes you'll hear a anecdote of somebody's dying words calling out to Mom, not Dad in this case, and no offense. But what is it about motherhood, the whole institution, that brings out this emotion and reduces even tough guys to blithering babies sometimes?
I think it's the one person in your life that gives you unconditional love, other than maybe your wife. But even she gets mad at you.
Yes.
But moms never do. I mean, they just, it's a big hug or it's a bigger hug. You know what I mean?
Yeah, your mom or your cocker spaniel, and that's about it as far as unconditional love, I imagine, in this world. And I guess as long as we have one or both, we're in pretty good shape. It's interesting how the whole concept of motherhood has changed. We would be, I think, naive to suggest that every parent out there is, a two-parent household, and there are a lot of single moms handling things out there, and how they do it, I have no idea. Can a mom be a mother and a dad? I mean, did you encounter a lot of the people you talked to who had been raised by single mothers? And, how do they pull that off, and how does that change the equation?
I had a few people that were single moms, and it changed the equation a little bit more in that they had maybe a shade less time with their mother than the others did.
Mm-hmm.
But I found that mom still gave them all the love in the world. It never seemed to take away from what they had to say about their mothers. The love that their mother gave them. The people that were single moms seemed to equate the same thing to me as the people that came from what we would call a traditional family with a mother and a father.
I mean, in some cases, I would think that might even result in more respect and more love. I mean, for heaven's sakes, to think that your mother's doing this on her own, and perhaps even some resentment, not that that would serve any useful purpose, but I'm sure maybe some resentment somebody raised in that situation about the man who may have walked out on her, and that might result in greater love and greater affection and greater respect for the mother, because she's basically doing the work of two.
Mm-hmm. One fella in my Dr. James Wingate, who's in my book, he was president of Lemoyne Owen College in Memphis, Tennessee. And he had been raised by his grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
His mother had passed away, and he only knew her for about... Can you hear me now, Ray?
Yeah, I'm good.
Oh, okay. The one phone was beeping. He was raised by his grandmother, and he said, I got all the love and everything I needed from my grandmother. His mother died when, I believe he was like one or two. I believe it was like closer to 1 year old. So he she made sure that she gave him extra love. So to a degree, I guess you're correct in what you say.
So some of these, some other family members can actually fill that role, even though they might not be, the mother in this particular case. Are there others who can actually fill that maternal role?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, one of the things that, frankly, always comes back to me on Mother's Day, maybe there's a little bit of guilt involved, and perhaps some of the folks listening can relate to this. Growing up, I'm not sure we ever really appreciate our mothers as fully as we should. I mean, I can think back to some hurtful things I'm sure I said growing up. We're more concerned with our friends, and we're more concerned with our status in the school to really be too concerned about our parents and want to spend time with them. Do you find that a lot of the people that you talk to in the course of putting together the book have that feeling, the idea that, you know, maybe as adults now, perhaps even as parents, they've come to appreciate even more the roles that their mom played in their lives, and you know, maybe feeling a little bit of guilt for some of the nastiness they might have provided when we all go through those phases as younger kids.
Oh, absolutely! All these people felt, you know, much more. I should say, when they were growing up, they didn't realize what mom was teaching them. Mm-hmm. I mean, most of them will tell you, you know, mom would say this, and they would fight them. And then as they got older, and as you say, they get their own families, they learn how important those lessons are. And it grows over time, as you say. And as they got older, I don't think it was out of a sense of guilt. I just think they really learned to, over time, to appreciate exactly what she was saying.
Kind of like the old Mark Twain saying, the idea that when he was 17, he thought his dad was a complete fool, and then in 4 years was amazed at how much he learned in 4 years. I guess we could apply that to mom as well. Let's go to the phone lines. We're going to kick things off today, and we'll head to Brackenridge and Donna. Hey, Donna, welcome to KDKA from Brackenridge.
Hi.
Hi.
Let me turn down this radio.
Turn down that radio, doggone it.
Hi, Donna.
I would like to recite a poem that I wrote years ago for my mother. She died in 1959, 2 days or 2 months to the day that my oldest daughter was born.
Mm.
And she's 52 now. Anyway, it goes like this. God bless my mother in her grave a year ago today, who did the best she could, dear Lord, to live according to your way. Oh, she loved you, God, and in her heart she loved our family. And she often prayed for our reunion in your great eternity. Oh, there were so many things on earth she hoped that she could do, including all the dreams for us that never would come true. Dear Father, keep my mother in your good and loving care, and let her rest in peace as I implore you in this prayer. And protect her with your blessings for one of the kindest women. And when my day is over, let me be with her in heaven.
That's nice, Donna. And, you know, something like that really defies any sort of follow-up conversation. Thanks for sharing that with us, Donna.
Okay.
And we'll talk to you again. And what a lovely poem slash prayer there, and a great tribute to her mom there. We're going to take a brief time out, kicking things off today, paying homage to mom vicariously with our kickoff guest tonight, Eugene Quinn. His book, Moms Are the CEOs of Life. Basically, what Eugene did was talk to a number of people who had achieved some success on this terra firma and ask them what bits of advice, what things that their mom told them have indeed had a positive effect on their life. And I thought it might be kind of fun to give you the opportunity to share some of those things at 1-866-391-1020. We're going to take a very brief time out, and we'll be back perhaps to you, Dollar Bank Instant Access, and the homepage at kdkradio.com. Another way to be a part of our program on News Radio 1020 KDKA. Hey, once again, a happy Mother's Day to one and all. Rick Bergman with you, kicking things off this fine Sunday afternoon. Chris taking the day off, perhaps having an opportunity to share some time with some of the significant women in his life, the moms, the brothers, the sisters, rather, some of the in-laws, perhaps, who've comprised that family unit, which gives life, I think, a lot of its substance here. We're kicking things off with our one and only guest relative to the holiday. His name is Eugene Quinn. He's written a book titled Moms Are the CEOs of Life. Basically, what Eugene did was talk to a lot of people who had succeeded and found out what sorts of information their mothers gave them, which ultimately played out a significant role in her life. And, you know, I'll bet a lot of us can relate to that. And if you'd like to share some of the things that your mom told you, we'll give you that chance at 1-866-391-1020. Welcome back, Eugene. Before we get back to the call, the phone lines, rather, I get this instant access from Hank. And Hank says, on commercial, you can correct the guest. Apparently, a new study on mothers said the market value of motherhood was really $61,436, which is a bargain in Hank's estimation. A little smiley face kind of thing there. So, but even so, you know, 61 grand when you consider what a mother does and the role that she has in our society, I think, is chump change, really.
Exactly.
And certainly, we appreciate Hank in coming in with that that little tidbit. You know, the whole concept of motherhood, I think back to when I was growing up and, you know, the Leave It to Beaver and that sort of thing and some of that stuff, just absolutely amazing. The rather unreal sense of reality there. You know, they seem to want to kind of eradicate some of the difficulties in growing up. And, you know, I could never quite understand that in retrospect. I mean, what's wrong with presenting the family unit as it really was? Because, of course, something very, very glorious, I think, in the frailties of human life, which we see, I guess, in some of the more contemporary television dramas. But some of that early stuff, just absolutely surreal. Let's go to the phone lines. We go to Elsie from Pittsburgh. Hey, Elsie from Pittsburgh. Welcome to KDKA.
Hi there.
Hi there.
Hi, Elsie.
How are you today?
Good, Elsie. Glad to have your company.
Yes. We were just driving in the car and listening to your radio show, which is great.
Thank you.
But I wanted to wish Cookie Lady a happy Mother's Day, and she has a special place in my heart because she, by her being on the radio, my mother's name was Stella. Stella Smooth.
Stella!
Yeah, Stella.
Okay.
Her and my mother became good friends through the radio.
Is that right?
And they kept in touch until my mother passed away last year. And she was just an angel. So I want to wish to Cookie Lady from Elsie and my other half, Joe, happy Mother's Day.
Well, you know, that's very kind of you, Elsie. Is this the first Mother's Day without your mom?
Yeah, it is, hon. Yeah.
That's, I mean, I can't even. I mean, I guess that's something we're all going to face at some point in time, and it's got to be tough. It's got to be very difficult. And
she was mom and my best friend, and I loved her with all my heart.
Well, you've paid a great tribute to her here today, Elsie, and we appreciate your taking the time to share that. We'll pass along some of that love for the Cookie Lady out there.
Thank you.
Thank you, Elsie. We appreciate that. Once again, it is Mother's Day, and, you know, I'm just the type of individual, a little old-fashioned in that regard. I certainly would not want to kick off the day without giving you an opportunity to pay respect to your mom. Our guest, Eugene Quinn, his book, Moms Are the CEOs of Life, an opportunity perhaps to share some of the advice that your mothers gave you. That is the sum and substance of the book, Eugene compiling some of the tidbits, some of the pearls of wisdom that moms of famous people shared with them, and kind of neat to take a look at some of that stuff this afternoon, give you a chance to pay tribute to your mom. You know, I would have to say that virtually everybody, 99 and 44 100% of us, of course, have wonderful thoughts about our mom and wonderful memories about her, if indeed we no longer have her. But there are those occasional exceptions, and I'm just wondering if in the course of compiling your book, you ran into maybe a Christina Crawford type, the mommy dearest kind of thing, the idea that maybe in some cases, for whatever reason, it doesn't always pan out the way it's supposed to. Did you ever encounter anything like that as you did your research?
Oh, I did, and it's funny that you asked. One of the fellows that I had called, successful in his own right, and because of the negative influence his mother had thrust upon him, he said it forced him to say, that'll never happen to me again. And and he said that helped him fight through. But I did, not a lot. There were probably about three or four people that I came across that had a very negative thought of their mother, and obviously we never did a story together on that.
And they never made the cut, huh?
they're on the on the floors, they say in Hollywood.
Yeah, maybe you can do a sequel to it or something like that. Mommy Dears Part Two kind of thing. You know, the unique thing about the institution of motherhood, frankly, is that I think it's something that kind of transcends culture, transcends race and religion, things of that nature. In the course of doing your interviews and talking to people, did you Did you notice any distinctions, you know, within different cultures and races and religious groups with respect to that institution of motherhood, or was it, you know, pretty much one size fits all as far as the role that she plays in people's lives?
Great question. I saw it as one size fits all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it might have been me looking through, you know, primrose glasses or whatever, but pretty much everybody, and, you know, I had all walks of life, all ethnicity and different religions, and pretty much everybody had, you know, glowing things to say about their mother, and I didn't see any real difference, whether black, white, Jewish, Catholic, Protestant, whatever. I didn't see any difference. The only difference I saw was men versus women.
And how, you know, that's a good question. In fact, it's one of the things I intended to ask you anyway.
Yep.
You know, I mentioned earlier that while my mom provided tons of love, I mean, the advice that I got growing up tended to come from my dad. And yet I'm thinking with three sisters, I'm sure they got a lot of advice from my mom. So, you know, as far as the advice thing was concerned, was there any distinction between, you know, the gender roles there as far as who got what advice and, you know, what was maybe deferred to the other partner?
I had a trouble getting women to open up about their mothers. They all wanted to talk about their father. So it seems to be daughters are influenced by their fathers, sons influenced by their mother. Not to say that I didn't come across some wonderful women who opened up for me and are in the book. But I had probably 2% are in the book of all the women that I called. And all the others just basically said, no, thank you.
Hmm. Well, that's interesting, and I imagine that varies, of course, from family to family. You know, one of the people that you talk to does have a local connection. You talked to Ken Anderson, who, of course, aside from being a great quarterback for the Cincinnati Bengals, is, I guess he's still the Steeler quarterback coach. I think at last check he was. Tell us about your
company. He retired last
year. Oh, okay, well, that...
I think it was his last year.
Well, I'm more of a Pirate fan anyway. But, yeah, tell us a little bit about your conversation with Kenny Anderson, who some of the people here in Pittsburgh
might recall. Oh, Kenny was great. I mean, what a wonderful guy. And and I had some trouble. The other group, quote, sports figures.
Uh-huh.
And they have, a lot of them had kind of an inflated thought of who they were and how they got to where they are.
Yeah, and yet they're always saying, hi, Mom, in the sidelines. I mean, how do you figure that?
I know. But Ken was just, he couldn't just talk enough about his mom. And he came from very humble beginnings, but he said, I never knew it till I looked back at his father was a janitor at the high school, and his mom had to work full-time at the factory. And he said, and it was funny, we were talking earlier, you were saying, you made a comment, you know, well, sports figures, people don't see them tear up. But Ken was tearing up talking about his mom. He was telling the story. He came from a small town outside of Chicago, went to St. Augustine College to play quarterback, and it was the first time he was away from home ever. And he said his mother made, his favorite were her peanut butter cookies, and she made peanut butter cookies and had them sent to him every Friday. And he said that was the one thing that got him through all tough times he had when he was in college, whether it was with football, grades, women, whatever. He said it was the one tough thing. He knew on Friday there would be a tin of cookies waiting for him from his mom. And then he went on to tell the story. He was drafted by the Cincinnati Bengals,
right. Mm-hmm.
And his father had to work on Saturdays, so they couldn't drive down Saturday to Cincinnati to see his game on Sunday. So they would get up early Sunday. He would work Saturday. They'd come home, eat, sleep, get up early, drive down to the game, and then drive back. They lived just outside of Chicago. I believe he said it's about a five-hour drive from Cincinnati to Chicago. And he said in all the time he played with Cincinnati, they only missed one home game.
Wow. Oh, you know,
and that was to go to a funeral of a friend of theirs.
And, you know, once again, even recalling my athletic career as it was growing up, no matter how, if you made an error, you struck out, you look up into the stands, and Mom was always there, even if, you know, Dad, due to work and whatever, could not be there. How might we get a copy of the book, Eugene? The name of it is Moms Are the CEOs of Life. Somebody so moved, how might they get a copy?
They can get it either on Amazon.com, or they can get it from BarnesandNoble.com. And if they go to my website, there's a link to an email to me. And if they just send me their email, I'll send back to them how they can get an autographed copy of it.
Oh, wow. And what is that email?
There's a link right on the website.
Oh, okay.
And the website is MomsAreTheCEOsOfLife.com.
Moms Are the CEOs of Life. I knew all that technical stuff. I was just messing with you there. Hey, yeah, well, listen, we appreciate your generosity with the time there, Mr. Quinn, and good luck with the book. Talk to you next year.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it, Rick. And again, hi to everyone out there.
Thank you, Eugene.